So why don't we pray, and I'll kind of walk you through the retreat and see if I can unpack some things, some of you that may be here for the first time, and I'll just get a little sense of where you're coming from, okay? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Holy Spirit, come be with us and guide us, open our hearts, and strengthen us to do your will. Give us great faith and hope and love. We pray together. Hail Mary.
Full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou.
Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For some of you, how many is this your first retreat with me? With me, at least. Good. Well, welcome. How many your first time at Loyola? Some of you? Okay, great. So the little history is in brief. I started giving retreats, 15 years ago, and then we started these one-nighters because we found that sometimes the weekend was a little bit too much financially for some, and also it was hard to get away for the whole weekend. So the intention of this is to try to squeeze four talks. Father Stokes will come tomorrow, and try to squeeze it in, give you a chance to pray, give you a chance to get away, sort of realigning your heart and your soul in the journey. And so what came to me is, Jesus, teach me to pray. That was what I really felt the Lord put in my heart. And today's talk, the first talk, is going to be about desire. One of the things I want to ask you are, what are some of the desires of your heart? Okay? And I'm not sure where you come from, but, you know, my desires sometimes led me the wrong direction. Desires in my life, and there's little sheets in there if you want to make notes or whatever, we put an extra sheet or two. And let me just back up a little bit. You want to kind of weave notes that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. So maybe you have a really great memory. If you have a rotten memory, write down some notes. What the Lord speaks to you, okay? And try to allow that moment to be something of God for you. The men's retreat, when we talked on Sunday, so many guys started connecting the talks, and they were sort of seeing a pattern of what the Lord was saying to them. It wasn't necessarily anything I said, because they're guys, so they were completely off in la-la land. Somehow, God spoke through the wooden head and got to their brain and their heart, and there was something very beautiful. So, what are your desires? Now, a desire is a healthy thing. St. Ignatius Loyola talks about desire. We have desires for many things. There's layers of desire. I desire to be loved. I desire to love. That's a very beautiful reality. I have a desire to believe. And I also want people to believe in me. So there's these layers of desire. And somewhere along the line, maybe if you were like me, there's times when you can distrust your desire. It can lead you to selfishness. Certainly it can lead you to sin. It can lead you to separation from God and from other people. And so when we begin to speak of desire, you can say, well, I don't know if I can trust my desires. So what can happen, ladies, is the very movement of God kind of beginning to work in your soul and in your heart, you can begin to pull back on and say, well, this can't be of God because it feels, it sounds, it tastes very similar to maybe some of the desires in my past that may have led me down the wrong path. And so you can begin to question your journey in faith. But God begins to purify those desires. You know, great sinners can make great saints. So to remind yourself that the areas in which you struggled in your past or even now can be the channel through which God can speak to you about desire. Your desires may be very healthy. It depends the object of your desire. Mary Magdalene is a great example. She had a great desire to love. As a matter of fact, she had a great desire to be loved. But she just did it all the wrong way. She completely got messed up. What happened was she began to think, well, this is what love is. This is what love looks like, feels like, tastes like. And so she got confused with the concept of love. When you begin to understand your desires, you will understand self-knowledge, and actually, God is speaking through your desires. It's very important that you do not put your desires to the side and think, well, these can't be of God. This is not holy. Desires come from God's movement of love for you to draw you to Him. But you cannot pervert the desires. So I have a desire to love, and I have a desire to be loved completely of God. It's the expression of that that I have to be aware of. I have to have boundaries. I have to be aware of those areas of weakness in my life that may lead me into a false sense of love and being loved. So throughout the day, but until tomorrow, I want you to begin to think, what are the desires that God has put in my heart? Do you ever pray through those desires? I want to give you a personal example. You know, I came from kind of a crazy life, you know, through college and stuff. And one could say, well, it was full of something that looked like love. It was not love. It's probably lust or pride, but it looked like it. I have found that God has returned the desire in my life through the expression of my priesthood, through the expression of my vocation. So therefore, when I meet somebody saying they're away from the church, I'm thinking, how can I love them to bring them back to Christ? Not to me, but to Christ. I haven't become plastic. I haven't become some wooden statue. I certainly can say I cry with them, struggle, give some of them a little tap on the nose and slap upside the head every once in a while. But it's rooted in my desire to bring them back to Christ. Does everybody understand that? I want you to begin to understand, what are your desires? Okay? You can't go through your life sort of lukewarm, like impenetrable. It's completely of God to suffer with people, to cry with people, to love with people. It may be in a physical expression, or it may be some other way. But I want you to understand that that desire does come from God. That's not something that you can say, I can't trust that. One of my biggest points in my prayer today was tell them, trust in their desires. Trust in them. But make sure they're boundaries, because you can't just go around desiring everything. Again, love. My desire for love hasn't changed. I would probably say it's elevated paradoxically. As I have expressed it less through my vow of celibacy, I have actually desired it more through bringing Christ to people. That is the desire that God gives to me. The rich young man in the scriptures that I want to just kind of use as a teaching point for you. Here's the scripture. It's Mark chapter 10, verse 17 to 22. And I'm going to read it, because this kind of expresses my struggle with people struggle with desire. Okay? And as he was setting out, the he is a reference to Christ, okay, on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? And no one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud, and honor your mother and father. And he said to him, Teacher, all these things I have observed from my youth. Okay, a little bit of the desire. And Jesus, looking upon him, loved him. That's the scripture. Jesus looked upon him and said, You lack one thing. Go sell what you have, give it to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. At this, his countenance fell, and he went away sorrowful, because he had many possessions. So this man had an expression, a desire. Look, I'm not committing adultery. I'm not stealing. I'm honoring my mother and father. What do you want? And God tries to bring him into a deeper relationship. Okay? Some of the things that of our desires, even though they're good, we can make them into idols. We can make them to things that we identify, that we think, well, this is who I am because I look, I have health like this, my kids are like this. Those are just all identifiers around us. They're adjectives. That is not ultimately my person, because those things can rapidly go here or there anytime. Desire, Jesus is speaking to him. You have a desire. You've come to me. Come closer. Come through those things into a deeper relationship with me. That's the prayer of desire. The prayer of desire says, yeah, Lord, I've come and I've knelt. And God says, okay, then come into my heart and understand me better. The Lord speaks deeper, and he seeks to draw you from just merely saying words in prayer to desiring. The prayer of desire is ultimately to do God's will. More than anything else, ladies, my prayer is to do God's will. I pray to do God's will. I desire to do God's will. That's how God draws you. And so at the heart of your prayer is, who is Jesus Christ? That is who you're asking in your desire. Lord, who are you? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, as Peter says. You are the Christ. The proclamation of your statement of faith, you are the Christ, is your ability to desire Christ more and more in your life. Don't desire just the actions of God. Desire the person of Christ moving in your life. Because we can say, well, Lord, I need a job. Help me with my kids. Okay, Lord, give me patience. All those are fine. But that is not ultimately what God is desiring of you. His ultimate desire for you is, ready, I want you to do my will. I want you to trust me and to do what my Father has in store for you. Your prayer has to not sort of miss the bullseye on the things of God. Remember, that's what the rich man, young man did. He was all around the bullseye. I'm not killing anybody. I'm not committing adultery. Yeah, I love my mom and dad. What else? And Jesus says, sell it and come to me. And he says, I can't. I got too many things I got to hold on to. Jesus was trying to purify his desire. If you really desire God, you'll hit the bullseye. That means accepting some of the struggles that the Lord allows you to go through, some of your physical, emotional trials, right? I desire, Lord, and trust you. That's the grace of what God wants for you. When your heart is open, you can say, yes, Lord, I understand. I see. I see you calling me through these things. But I have encountered many people in the journey, and they say, well, I don't know how to trust what our desires. Ladies, I want to remind you that sometimes God heals you through the sins of your senses, by pulling you through the senses into a deeper spiritual sense. So if there's a person who struggled with one of the senses, okay, God, because he wants to heal that and turn it to the desire of the sense, which is what? My eyes desire to see God. My ears desire to hear God. My touch desires, okay? But through sin, it gets perverted. It gets broken. Let's just say it's turned upside down. So God, because I am made in his image and likeness, flips it back to the original identity. But I've got to go back through those things sometimes to remind me of how those senses were oppressed by my sinfulness. Does everybody get that? So let's say in their past they struggle with this sense of touch. God will sometimes, typically, heal that person through the sense of touch, through Christ's purifying touch, and then that man or woman heals through that touch themselves. It has to work its way out of the senses. It's like a splinter, and it works its way out of the body. But as it works its way out, it's tough because you're like, why is this happening? Why isn't this being liberated? Because it can be that delicate tension when I'm not sure if I'm going to be liberated. The rich young man kneels before the Lord, and Jesus invites him. Go put the stuff that's just not even a sign. I mean, it's a sign that you love me, but it's not me. The Christian man or woman that says, well, this is how I love God. Yes, I go to church. I go to confession. But it's those things lead you to Jesus Christ. You are not holier because you do more of it. You must be drawn into him and accept his will. So people pray sometimes. The Lord's will is expressed in their lives, and then they pray to change God's will. I don't get it. Right? So, Lord, I'm doing your will. I trust you. They come down with the sickness. Lord, fix me. Quick, grab the rosary and tell Mary to fix Jesus and fix my sickness. The prayer of desire, God invites you into a relationship. Your desires, if they are purified through Christ, you will see things in perspective. You will begin to realize, ready? Everything is a gift. When you have been purified, everything is a gift. Everything. So think about it. So if I look at my daughter and I say, gosh, how beautiful, look at what I did. That's a gift, man. When my eyes really see, it's a gift. When I look at my health and I say, gosh, I'm glad I'm not 300 pounds, it's a gift. In other words, you begin to understand that God is working, but you don't take credit for the work that God is doing. You realize that it's God's desire to bring you through some of the struggles, to bring you to him, to ask you, are you gonna keep taking credit for the stuff I gave you? Are you gonna think that's all because of you? Oh yeah, you make all that money, where'd you get the gift? Yeah, your kids are decent, where'd you get the gift? I mean, really, that's like the rich young man. Look, I'm doing okay. Look at what I'm doing. I'm not doing anything. I'm not committing adultery. I love my mom and dad. The Lord says, great, come on, come with me. Sell all your stuff and come on. He says, uh-uh. Everything is a gift. The prayer of desire means I know that it all comes from God, and my response to that is love. When I can respond to God in love, through the trials, through the sicknesses, through what you go through in your life, then, ladies, what you are beginning to develop is a real desire of Christ. I desire to do the Father's will. Nothing God does is ever in anger. Nothing. God does everything in love. Everything. And so, yes, I have trials. I have sicknesses. There are people in my life that fall apart. There's death. And yet, my desire is I know that God is with me. This gives you the freedom to see people differently. Not in judgmentalism, but in the ability to realize, if it's a grace, but for the grace of God, go I. I can tell you, I've met folks in my office sometimes in my ministry. I'm like, man, they got a heavy cross. Holy crow. That's tough. And they persevere. We have a mass, with the healing once a month. And anyway, I got a kind of a small group of people that come to see me also privately. And I have this beautiful woman. I don't know, she's like in her 40s. And the other day she was describing to a group of people her cancer. And she's like, yeah, I have cancer. It started out, I don't know where it started out. Anyway, it's all over the place in her body. She's got neuropathy and something else in her leg. I didn't understand it. But she has such a beautiful smile. Like, and her husband was there. And I was having a mass, and this lady tried to kneel, but she couldn't heal. I said, hey, just sit. She's like, I got it, Father. Like, let me do it. And it's so beautiful, her little suffering, offered through her pain. And I could see her desire because she said, I'm just desiring to do what God wants me to do. And this, that stuff is all over her. And yet, she said, my doctor can't figure out why. Well, I'm not dead. And I'm like, and yet, she smiles so beautifully. I mean, she had makeup on, you know, and all that stuff. I'm like, she looked great. And the thing isn't the makeup. It's the idea that she wanted to look beautiful. She wanted to look joyful, even she was suffering. And she has a desire to do God's will, even though she's suffering. Okay? Through prayer and through these next, you know, through the 24 hours, I want you to ask yourself, first of all, watch yourself. What are my desires in relationship to Christ? Have I ever thought of my desires? To do your will, Lord? To be an instrument of your grace. To be a woman who deeply loves him. To be one who brings Christ to other people. Like, don't go on the surface, right? Don't do the iceberg. I want this, I want that. But have you ever, like, gone deeper? And said, Lord, this is really what I want. Desire, we only have limited space for desire in our hearts. So your desires are not unlimited. It's very important that you understand that. Like my hands, they can only hold so much. In like manner, your heart can only hold so much. Your heart is not unlimited in terms of your desires. So it's important that you realize that you have to have a sort of a priority to the way that you live your life, to the way that you want to do God's will. So the first is, I want you to write down, yeah, Lord, these are some of the desires that I really sort of feel in my heart. And like I said, go deeper. The second thing is to realize, are those desires connected to anything in your life thus far? So maybe the past, maybe things that you've experienced. I'll give you an example. It's not the best. I remember when I was a little boy, when I was in second grade, Sister Virginie, we would always pray when a fire truck went by, or an ambulance, or a cop car, or whatever, I don't know. And you know, I've sort of translated that into other ways that I see. Like I pray for the troops after Mass and things like that. but I can directly attribute to God using Sister Virginie in second grade to pray for this, for the fire trucks and all that. There was right up the road. And I thought, why do I have this desire? It's a healthy desire to pray for those situations. But I distinctly remember that that moment was a moment that really etched in my mind because there were repeated times that we did it, right? And of course, if we were going out to recess and there was a fire truck, Sister wouldn't let us go out. So I wasn't always happy about praying for the fire trucks, right? It's like, everybody, boys and girls, pray your Hail Mary. Hail Mary, for the grace of the Lord. Amen. It says, Mr. Leary, say it again, slowly. But I go back to those moments. So the idea of this retreat is to sort of give you the freedom to begin to analyze deeper the movements of God. Don't doubt those moments that sort of come up. Holy Spirit, show me where some of my desires come from. Where do they come from? Sometimes they will come from your own struggles. So maybe sometime in your life, you know, maybe you have a love for the poor, and all of a sudden you realize, man, I realized how stinking broke I was emotionally, physically, spiritually, who knows, because of sin or whatever. And there's always been like, God has said, yeah, that's because that was you. And I want you to see your reflection in this poverty. Okay? That awareness will help you begin to discern, you know, the next talk, but you'll begin to understand very deeply, when I go to pray, okay, am I speaking to God through my desires? Am I echoing back to God my desire? So I go to pray, my past with its issues of lust. I now love, and now at the end of my day, I look back on my day, and I say, Lord, thank you for bringing me to the hospital to anoint this person, let's say. I see that's an expression of a healed desire in my life. So it isn't just, I went on a communion call and anointed this guy. That's exactly how you can just stay above the surface. And you're like, oh, I just did another diaper, I just did another meal, I just did this. And then you can just feel like a robot. But when you go deeper and you say, now I know why this desire is in me. Why did I feel the joy in my heart when I anointed that guy? Why did I get this expression of trust or love when I held his hand as I anointed this guy, let's say? Because I know that that's an expression of desire within me now through my vocation of the priesthood. That's the very same desires that everybody in the chapel has. But if you're not aware of them, you're just going to keep doing those things like a monkey, over and over and over and over and over. And thus, eventually they may lose the flavor. And here's deeper. So then you can say, well, the hospital calls, I don't really want to go. Get somebody else to go, right? It's not in my parish boundaries, let's say. Fine. I'm legitimately saying, chuck it on the next guy. No problem. However, that might have been an act of God to invite me back to a desire of love in which I am renewed, sort of paradoxically, by going to the hospital and anointing or praying over them. Does everybody get that? If you're not aware of these desires, then you may begin to have everything the same. Well, praying in Our Father is like going to the hospital. It won't be the same expression. And thus, your heart is not elevated. And thus, prayer sort of just says, same old thing, same old thing. Okay? I sincerely believe, and I've often prayed about it. It's like, well, what was the joy in my day today? That's another beautiful prayer. What was the joy? Was there joy? You have to be aware of those. This is where I had a joy. This is where I felt my heart sort of say, cool, that's all right, God. I know I'm not alone in this. And then you begin to say, okay, I'm not just going to concentrate on the stuff I messed up or traffic or the dirty house, but I'm actually going to, my prayer is going to draw me deeper. And that's the whole thing of the rich young man. Right? I'm doing all those things, Lord. What else am I going to do? And the Lord says, okay, go sell and come and desire. Come and desire. So, do you have desires in your heart, and what are they? And see the pattern of them in your life. All the saints had huge desires. To believe that they weren't great lovers is totally fallacious. People with holiness are great lovers. They just have limitations and boundaries to how they love. But they're in the trench, baby, loving, totally loving. They're loving life, they're loving nature, they're loving people, they're loving sickness. Everything they see God is right in the trench. And that's really a beauty. But when your desires are false or based on people as opposed to the Lord, they're so limited. And when those people let you down or God doesn't fix them according to your divine will, or not divine in some cases, right? Then what happens is you say, well, I'm not going to pray. Or what's the point of prayer? Or this isn't fair. I'm going to compare myself to people. Okay? So I don't know whether you heard this talk, but I felt it was of the Holy Spirit. I have real clarity in my mind on this one as I speak it. So I hope you heard it so that you can really take it. Now, don't be afraid to wrestle with it and to struggle. And the Holy Spirit will reveal your desires. Holy Spirit, what are my desires? Okay. Not long ago, we had a talk. I'll stop now. But we had a lady come to the parish. She was getting ready to give a talk. But I remember thinking that in talking to somebody that was at the retreat, we were talking about the topic of how she wanted to be a daughter, like a deeply loved daughter. And that she had gone through a long journey, kind of sin and brokenness in the family and all that stuff. And what ultimately happened is she was drawn into a very deep, beautiful devotion to the Blessed Mother, which sort of brought her back to her family, to her mom. So our Lord sort of took her, brought her through this mother, and Mary kind of brought her back. And as she came back, she had the ability to love mom in a different way. She could see mom in a different, in a beautiful way, actually. That's an example of just sort of being drawn, having it converted in God or through Our Lady, and then coming back. And they had the capacity, she had this beautiful capacity to see beauty in a situation that was pretty broken. That's what I think is of God. And that's ultimately desire. Okay? Last week we had a bunch of funerals at St. Andrew. We had 5 funerals. A little 5-month-old baby that was miscarried, and then another 3-week-old baby that was miscarried in utero, and then 2 folks, and then a 12-year-old suicide at a local school. And what the Lord put in my heart was desire to walk through these people in the casket, so to speak, and invite them back to Christ. Okay? So to convert death into life for the congregation, for the parishioners. That's an important point for you. Do you have that ability to convert that and to go through the suffering with a desire that is really of love and bring them back through pain? Okay? And when ladies, you are, when you know your desires, you're going to cut aside all the noise, the static, and you say, well, what am I desiring? I'm desiring to bring these people back to Christ, and I'm desiring to bring Christ to these people. So let's get at it. Whatever, right? This music, they want that. I don't care. You know, they wanted to put their country's flag on the thing. I'm like, yeah, fine, whatever. Put 10 flags. I don't care. I just want to preach and bring you back to God. And that enables us to really focus on God's love, okay? That is what I want to get to the heart of this first talk, okay? So, anyway, amen. So let's pray, ladies, while you're seated, okay? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God, our Father, the gift of desire is a gift that you express in us for you. Pour into these hearts a beautiful desire that they may know their desires and live to express them in their lives through their vocations. Blessed Mother, be with them. Holy Spirit, inspire them and give all of them a spirit of peace. Remove distraction so that they may ultimately know who they are and that their desires are expressions of your love for them. And may Almighty God bless you, ladies, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.